For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is July the 2nd. We in Parshas Acharemos. We are on page 650. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. This is the beginning of the discussion of the prohibitions on various types of relationships. All types of relationships. Ish isha kol she'er b'saro lo sigruvu legalos erva. Any man to a relative. How do they translate that? They say a
close relative.
Close relative, okay. Lo sigruvu shana come close legalos erva to reveal nakedness. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. That is a phrase that means to be intimate. That's what legalos erva means. And it is, so each man is not allowed to be intimate with the following relatives and non-relatives, as we'll see. The Torah words it as a prohibition against a man. However, the plural, lo sikravu, you shall not come close, it could have said lo sikrav, which is the singular. Lo sikravu is in the plural, because the prohibition is both against the man and the woman who are involved in this relationship. But the way the Torah talks about it is to a man. It is understood that the woman involved is also prohibited as well. The words lo sikrivu literally mean you shall not come close. There is a difference of opinion whether that means that other acts of closeness other than intimacy are also prohibited from the Torah. Everybody agrees that it is prohibited for people who are not allowed to be intimate with each other. Then it is also prohibited to be close in other ways as well. To hug, for example, would be prohibited with, let's say, a man with another man's wife. That was certainly prohibited. The question is it a Torah law or is it a rabbinic law? So some understand lo sikrivu, you shall not come close, implies a Torah prohibition even against something that is derech chiba, which is a way of closeness. Chiba means close or love or something like that. The others say that no, that it is not usur from the Torah, it's not prohibited from the Torah, it is only rabbinic in nature that it is prohibited. But any act that can lead to an act of intimacy is going to be prohibited either from the Torah or rabbinic. Now, we are going to see that there are different types of relatives that one is prohibited to. We're going to see that there are those that we would call in common law, we would call it incest. And then there are others that would not be labeled as incest in common law. There are some that are actually permitted, which might surprise people. So we'll see as we go along what the cases are. We are going to have a difference between relatives for whom there is a natural attraction and relatives for whom there is not a natural attraction. So for example, a mother and a son and a father and a daughter where there is not a natural attraction for intimacy. So there, although intimacy will be prohibited as we will see, but other forms of closeness will not be prohibited because there's no concern that one will lead to the other. But with a relative with whom there would be a natural attraction, that would be relatives that are, for example, non-blood relatives. A daughter-in-law, for example, which means a woman and her father-in-law, something like that, or a son-in-law, a man and his mother-in-law. Those situations, they're not blood relatives, therefore there can be an attraction, and therefore not only will the act of intimacy itself be prohibited, but anything that can bring to that would also be prohibited as well. As again, a dispute whether that is from the Torah or it is rabbinic in nature. So we have a long list here. We're going to start with Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. We'll have a long list. We'll go through as much as we can this evening. Some of them appear to be redundant, and we'll try to explain why the Torah says it in two different ways. Ervas avicha vervas imcha lo segale. The nakedness of your father and of your mother you shall not reveal. Again, we're talking to a man. So talking about a son, that he shall not reveal the nakedness of his father or his mother. What does it mean of his father? So it refers here to his father's wife. Even if his father's wife is not his mother, she is prohibited to him by virtue of the fact that she's married to his father. This would be true even after the father divorces that woman, so that his father is no longer married to that woman, since she was at one time married to his father, they are forever prohibited to each other. The mother, the stepmother, and the stepson. Ervas imcha, the nakedness of your mother, is literal. That means his own mother is the one who bore him. That there is a prohibition against that. Imcha, he, she is your mother, lo sagale ervasa, you shall not reveal her nakedness. The Torah emphasizes here with the mother. There is a difference, as I mentioned before, between a father's wife and a mother. A mother, because there is no natural attraction, therefore, other forms of closeness, hugging, kissing, would be permitted between a mother and a son. However, between a father's wife and a stepson, that would be prohibited. Now, there are situations of adoption where a child is adopted very, very young and is raised by a woman who is not his mother, not his blood mother, but raises him from a very young age. Or the other way around, where a young infant girl is raised by her stepfather. And in those situations, there are dispensations because of the fact that the child grew up in the home. The two relate to each other differently, even though they may not be blood related, but they do relate to each other differently, and that can affect the halacha, and in that situation, one should speak to a competent rabbinic authority. But in a situation where an adult child finds their adult man finds his father remarrying and marrying a woman who now becomes his stepmother, and then the father divorces that woman would be prohibited to that son, even though the father is no longer married to that woman. And any form of closeness, any kind of sort of form of physical closeness, would also be prohibited. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Ervas eshes avicha lo segale, the nakedness of the wife of your father you shall not reveal. Ervas avicha, she is the nakedness of your father. Now here, this seems to be redundant, because we mentioned that in the last verse, where it said, the nakedness of your father you shall not reveal, that's referring to your father's wife. So here it again, it says your father's wife. So our sages explain that this pasuk Ches verse 8 is trying to emphasize that even after one's father passes away, one may have thought that the prohibition is no longer there. So it's one thing if the father divorces his wife, but if the father dies, so the father's no longer alive, perhaps the stepmother becomes permitted to her stepson, and the Torah is telling us it does not. Once a man's father marries a woman, she is forever after prohibited to the stepson. And if you look at it from the woman's perspective, once a woman marries a man, then she is forever prohibited to his sons. No matter what happens later, whether there's death or divorce, makes no difference, that relationship is always prohibited. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Ervas achoscha vas avicha o vas imecha. The nakedness of your sister, whether she be the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, meaning even if she's only a half-sister. Moledes bayis o moledes chutz, born in the house or born out of the house. Lo sigale ervasan, you shall not reveal their nakedness. So this would be a sister, whether she be a half-sister from the mother or from the father, certainly a full sister, will be prohibited to a brother. And this is true even if she were born out of the house, which means even if she were born to a woman who the father really should not have married, a woman who is prohibited to this this son's father, this boy's father, this man's father. So a man's father has a relationship with a woman with whom he should not be having a relationship, and they have a child, they have a daughter. That daughter is still his half-sister and is forever prohibited to him. It is a permanent prohibition. Even after the father dies, the mother dies, makes no difference. They are forever prohibited to each other. The one exception to a brother and sister is, who knows, the one exception? No, that's not Yibum. That's a brother-in-law, right? One exception to a brother and sister?
Adoption?
No. Oh, well, adoption is not a real brother and sister. They're not blood related.
With a stepmother's daughter is by a different man.
Well, then she's not a half sister.
Right.
Right. I'm talking about actually a blood relative. So it's one time in history.
Oh, that's back in the days of Adam and Chava and
okay.
Their children.
So Adam and Chava had sons and daughters. There was no one else to marry, and in that situation, it was permitted for Cain to marry his sister, being that there were no other women for him to marry in the world other than his own mother, which was prohibited. So he was permitted there to marry his sister. But other than that one exception, it is prohibited for a brother and sister to marry each other, even a half brother, half sister. I'm sorry?
Yaakov's children.
So Yaakov's children, let's move out of this for a little bit for a moment. Let's digress just to explain this a little bit. These prohibitions here are for Jews. Mm-hmm. Now non-Jews are also prohibited in Gilui Arayos. Non-Jews also are not allowed to marry certain people, and it's prohibited. It's one of the seven Noahide laws. Is Gilui Arayos, not just adultery, incest as well, is prohibited for non-Jews. However, what the rules governing Jews and non-Jews do differ slightly. One difference between Jews and non-Jews is that a Jew may not marry his full sister or his half-sister, whether it be a half-sister through the mother or through the father, it is prohibited. A non-Jew may marry his half-sister if they are only related through their father. If they share a father, they are permitted to each other. If they share a mother, they are not permitted to each other. Yaakov's children, who at that time were given the law of non-Jews, the Torah had not yet been given, therefore they followed the Noahide laws. And so at that point, even though our ancestors kept the Torah, but they were not required to keep anything more than the seven Noahide laws, so the daughters of, for example, Leah, her daughters, were able to marry the sons of the other wives because they only shared a father, they didn't share a mother. So that's what you're referring to. According to one Medrash, the Machlokas and the Gemara and the Medrash, it's a difference of opinion, but according to one opinion, the brothers, the 12 tribes, married their half-sisters. They were married to their sisters with whom they shared a father, not with whom they shared a mother. Others say they marry Canaanite women. There's a difference of opinion who the tribes married. We know who Yehuda married. He first married Bathsheba, then he married Tamar. We know who Yosef married. He married Asnas. But the other brothers, difference of opinion whether they married half-sisters from their father or whether they married Canaanite women. That's a difference of opinion. But that would be the justification, is because if you look at them as B'nai Noach, as non-Jews, because the Torah had not yet been given, then a half-sister with a share of father is permitted. That's a difference between Jews and non-Jews. Yeah.
Were Yehuda and Tamar forbidden or permitted to each other?
So they were permitted to each other.
Even though she had been married to his son.
Okay, so that's a discussion which actually we... I don't know if we're going to get to that tonight or not. But that is a question whether... A daughter-in-law should be prohibited to a father-in-law, right? So we're going to see about that as we right. Okay. Pasuk. Let me just pause here for a moment. Now, the question of a brother and sister having physical contact. I don't mean contact like tapping somebody on the shoulder. I mean physical contact like hugging and kissing. The question of a brother and sister doing that is not a simple question. Meaning, as I said before, a father and daughter, a mother and son, there's certainly no issue whatsoever. Somebody else's wife, a man with somebody else's wife, is most certainly prohibited. The question of a brother and sister is a discussion point. And I hope tonight that we will expand on that. We'll expand that topic. But for now, we're going to leave that and move on and cover some more of the arayos of the prohibited relationships. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Ervas bas bincha ovas bitcha, the nakedness of the daughter of your son or the daughter of your daughter. These are granddaughters. Lo sigale, you may not reveal. Lo sigale ervasan, you may not reveal their nakedness. Ki ervas chahena, for they are considered to be your nakedness. They're considered to be part of you, and therefore a granddaughter is prohibited to a grandfather. Now, this particular example is referring to this is referring to a, let's see if we can get this straight, a daughter of a daughter who comes from a woman who he was not married to. A man had a relationship with a woman. They were not married. She had a daughter. That daughter then marries and has a daughter. So this is this man's granddaughter. But it's this man's granddaughter through a daughter who was born out of wedlock. That's what this verse is referring to, and it prohibits that case. The reason why our sages say it's talking about that case is because later we will have a verse that prohibits marrying a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. So a woman with whom he is married, we have a different verse that prohibits her offspring, even if it isn't his granddaughter. Her children are prohibited to him, as we'll see later on. So a man's wife, just as we learned before, that a woman is prohibited to her stepson, we're going to learn later that a man is prohibited to his stepdaughter, and also his stepgranddaughter. So if it's his wife's granddaughter, it's for sure prohibited anyway. So this is talking about where it's not his wife, where it is a woman with whom he was not married, and they had a daughter, and that daughter had a daughter, so he's prohibited to that granddaughter. If you didn't follow that, it's okay. Just understand that a man is prohibited to his granddaughter. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Ervas bas eshes avicha, the nakedness of the daughter of the wife of your father. So that's a half-sister again. Moledes avicha, the one who was born from your father. Achoscha hi, she is your sister. Lo sigaler vasa, you may not reveal her nakedness. What is this referring to? We already said before that a man may not marry his half sister. So this would be referring to if the father had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman or with a slave. In either case, the child does not follow the father's lineage. The child is considered to be, as we all know, if he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, the child is not Jewish. So that daughter so that daughter is now prohibited to this son. Since it's his father's daughter, even though she was born when the mother was not Jewish, would be prohibited to this brother, this half-brother. Okay. All sisters are prohibited. Yud Beis, verse 12. Ervas achos avicha lo sigale, the nakedness of the sister of your father. That's your aunt, your father's sister. Lo sigale, you may not reveal. Sher avicha hi, she is the relative of your father. So let's reverse that. A woman is prohibited to her nephew. Her brother's son is prohibited. Ervas achos imcha lo sigale, the nakedness of your mother's sister, you may not reveal. Kisher imcha hi, for she is the relative of your mother. So again, let's reverse that. A woman is prohibited to her sister's son. Again, a nephew. This is a blood nephew. Becomes prohibited. Now you understand there are four types of aunts. You understand there are four types of aunts. There's your father's sister, your mother's sister. Then there's your father's brother's wife and your mother's brother's wife. We have not spoken about your uncle's wives. Your father's brother's wife and your mother's brother's wife we haven't discussed yet, because that's not a blood relative. That's a woman married into the family. So far, we're only talking about blood aunts, and they are prohibited. So far. Now, Yudalat 14, Ervas achi avichalo segale, the nakedness of your father's brother you shall not reveal. Now, what does that mean, your father's brother? Elishtolo sikrov, you shall not get close to his wife. Dodas kahi, for she is your aunt. So even though she's not your blood aunt, she is your father's brother's wife. Nevertheless, she is prohibited because she is your aunt. So if you reverse that from a woman's perspective, a woman's husband's brother's son is prohibited to her. The Torah does not explicitly list a man's mother's brother's wife. So as I said, there are four aunts. The Torah talks about three of them. It does not talk about the fourth one. It talks about your father's wife. Excuse me. It talks about your father's sister. It talks about your mother's sister. It talks about your father's brother's wife. It does not discuss your mother's brother's wife. That is not mentioned in the Torah. That would only be prohibited rabbinically. That would not be a Torah prohibition. Tesva 15. Ervas kalascha lo sigale. The nakedness of your daughter-in-law you shall not reveal. Eshes bin chahi, she is the wife of your son. Lo sigaler vasa, you may not reveal her nakedness. So this would be true even if the son divorces this woman, or if the son dies, there should be a prohibition against a daughter-in-law. Now the question was already brought up, what about Yehuda with Tamar? Tamar was married to Yehuda's sons, first Er, then Onan. And they both died. And then Yehuda marries Tamar. That was a permitted relationship. So there, because it is, through they were, again, the laws of B'nai Noach, of non-Jews, would permit that relationship. But for Jews, that relationship is not permitted. Ervas eshes achicha lo sigale, the nakedness of your brother's wife you shall not reveal. Ervas achicha hi, she is the nakedness of your brother. So this is a sister-in-law. A brother's wife is prohibited. Or from the other perspective, it would be a woman's husband's brother is prohibited to her. And as you know, and you already mentioned before, that the exception to this is yibum. Yibum, when a man dies, God forbid, without children, then there is a mitzvah for the brother to do yibum, to marry his wife. So it's important to note that yibum is not just a mitzvah that the Torah commands because there's no children and therefore it's continuing the legacy of the brother, etc. But it is a prohibited relationship that the Torah is permitting under these circumstances, which means under any other circumstances, a brother's wife is prohibited. Even if the brother has already died, the brother's wife is prohibited. But in a rare case of yibum, if those parameters are met, then not only is it permitted, but it is a mitzvah for the brother to marry his sister-in-law. I'll point out to you that there are, this is going to be confusing to everybody, there are three types of brothers-in-law and three types of sisters-in-law. You're aware of that, of course. There are three types of brothers-in-law, three types of sisters-in-law. You have for a brother-in-law, you have your sister's husband is your brother-in-law. Your husband's brother is your brother-in-law. And your husband's sister's husband is your brother-in-law. Right? Same thing with sisters-in-law. Your husband's sister is your sister-in-law. Your brother's wife is your sister-in-law. and your husband's brother's wife is your sister-in-law. Here we're talking about one type of brother-in-law, which is your husband's brother. We're not talking about your wife's husband. Excuse me, we're not talking about your sister's husband. We're not talking about your brother's sister's husband. We're talking about your husband's brother. That's all. That's the only brother-in-law mentioned over here that and that's the one that's permitted through Yibum.
Even if he's married.
Even if he's married, yeah, because the Torah does not prohibit a man to have two wives. So being married does not preclude another marriage. Today, Yibum is prohibited. Rabbeinu Gershom, who prohibited polygamy and also enacted many other decrees, one of the decrees he enacted was to prohibit Yibum, to say that from here on out, if God forbid a man dies without children, his brother performs chalitza and not Yibum. And we'll talk about that, please God, when we get to the rules of Yibum and chalitza.
If the woman doesn't want to marry him, is she obligated to?
In theory, she doesn't have a choice, but in practice, they don't allow such a thing to happen. But pasuk, it doesn't. Today can't happen anyway. So the pasuk Yud Zayin verse 17. Ervas isha uvita lo segalei, the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, you shall not reveal, which means that once a man is married to a woman, he becomes prohibited to her children, her daughter, even though that daughter is from another man. Espas binav, espas bita, the daughter of her son and the daughter of her daughter, these are her granddaughters. Lo sikach legalos ervasa, you shall not take to reveal their nakedness. Shara hena, it is, they are relatives. Zima hi, this is promiscuity. How do they translate it here?
Depraved.
Okay, same thing. So that is prohibited. So from a woman's perspective, a woman is prohibited to her step-grandfather and to her step-father. Those are prohibited as well. V'isha elachosa lo sikach, and a woman to her sister you shall not take, meaning a man is prohibited to his wife's sister, litzror, to bind up the two of them together, ligalos ervasa aleha bechayeha, to reveal her nakedness upon her in her lifetime. Now here, this is the one exception to the rules of Giloy Arayos, where all of the incest, all of the familial prohibitions, I'm not talking about a married woman, but all the I'm not talking about adultery, but all of the familial prohibitions are all prohibited even after the person with whom the relationship was created has died. So that your mother's, from a woman's perspective, your mother's husband is prohibited even after one's mother passes away. Doesn't make a difference. Once she was married to that man is forever prohibited to the stepdaughter. The one exception is a sister-in-law. A man's wife's sister is permitted if his wife passes away. If he divorces her, the wife's sister is still prohibited. But if his wife passes away, or his ex-wife passes away, he then becomes permitted to her sister. This prohibition is only while the two women are still alive. But if the sister has passed away, then the other one is permitted, even though at one time there was a prohibition of Achos Ishto, the sister of his wife. Even the sister of his ex-wife is prohibited unless his wife or ex-wife passes away. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra.
Amen.
Velisha benidas tumasa, and to a woman when she is impure because of nida, which would be a menstrual cycle, lo sikrav legalos ervasa, you shall not get close to reveal her nakedness. That is also a prohibition in the Torah. And here again, it does, the actual prohibition is intimacy, but all forms of physical closeness are also prohibited with a man's wife who is a nida, who is currently impure, tame, because of her menstrual cycle. Now here you finally have adultery. We haven't mentioned adultery yet. This verse is adultery. To the wife of your friend, you shall not have a relationship with her. Latamava to make her impure through that relationship. One is not allowed to do that. We all know adultery is prohibited. Obviously, adultery, I shouldn't call it adultery, obviously another man's wife becomes permitted upon the death of her husband or upon their being divorced, because then she's no longer a married woman. So the prohibition of adultery is only as long as the two of them are married. If the woman is no longer married through either death or divorce of the husband, then she becomes permitted. From your seed, which means your children, you shall not give over to be passed through the molech. The molech is a form of avodah zarah, a form of idolatry, which involves handing over one's child to the priest, who then takes the child through pillars of fire. And you shall not profane the name of your God, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now this verse appears to be out of place, because this is an idolatry problem. The pure form of molech does not necessarily kill the child. They did have child sacrifice through burning. They did have such a thing. But the molech avodah zarah does not necessarily acquire the death of the child. It was giving over the child to the avodah zarah, to the idolatry, and they kind of seal the deal by taking the child through these two pillars of fire. So then the question, of course, is what is it doing over here in the discussion of Gilui Arayos, of improper relationships? But the answer is that improper relationships is the process of a person being involved with someone who he should not be involved with, which means if they have children, or even if they don't have children, it is akin to giving over one's child to someone who should not be having that child. And therefore, this avodah zarah, which is worshipped by giving over one's child, is placed here. It's a similar idea, a similar concept of giving over one's child to someone who should not have it. But now, we move into other prohibited relationships where there are no children. Pasuk Chavez, verse 22, Ves zachar lo sishkav mishkevei isha, a male, we're talking to a man, and saying that a man may not have an intimate relationship with another man the same way he would with a woman. Toevahi, it is abominable, despicable. How do they translate it?
An abomination.
It's an abomination. It's an abomination. I don't need to emphasize in this class that it should be obvious to all that the fact that the Torah calls this an abomination and does not refer to the other ones as an abomination should make it clear to anybody that this is worse than others and that it is obviously strictly prohibited and there is no room to find any kind of excuse for it. Pasuk of Gimel, verse 23. Oh, before I move on to 23. The Torah only prohibits a man with a man. The Torah does not prohibit a woman with a woman. You do not find that anywhere in the Torah. The Gemara says it is prohibited, a woman with a woman. There is a difference of opinion whether it is rabbinic in nature or whether it is found in the Torah. But even if it is found in the Torah, it is certainly not on the same level of severity as all of these over here. All of these cases here are many of them are punishable by death, as we'll see later. We haven't gotten to the punishments yet. The punishments for all of these will be outlined in Parshas Kedoshim, which is the next parsha. So some are punishable with capital punishment, others are not, but they're all kares. They all carry with them the very severe punishment from heaven called kares. A man with a man, homosexuality, is punishable by death in the courts. But a woman with a woman, even if it is prohibited from the Torah, is not punishable by death for sure and does not carry with it kares. It is not nearly as severe as all of these cases over here. It is prohibited, but it is not on the same level as any of these. Chav Gimel 23, Uvachol Behema, This is bestiality with any animal. One shall not have a relationship to become tame with it. V'ish, that's for a man, and then for a woman as well. V'ish alo samal lifnei v'hema l'riv'ah tevel hu, and a woman shall not stand before an animal, that the animal shall have a relationship with a woman. That is tevel, which is, it's a perversion for that to happen. Again, the punishments we will learn later on in Parshas Kedoshim. Yeah?
I think I got everything. But I don't quite understand adultery, a man having relations with a married woman, but if her husband's dead or dies, it's not adultery?
She's not married anymore.
How about for his wife?
A man is allowed to marry two wives according to the Torah.
Got it.
Now, as I said before, Rabbeinu Gershom prohibited that. So that's been prohibited for over 1,000 years at this point. But according to the strict letter of the law, that is permitted. So that would not be adultery. Yeah.
Is there a minimum age for marriage somewhere in the Torah?
Yeah. Yeah. A man cannot be married until he's 13 years old. Under any circumstances. It doesn't work. Even if he would try to, if a man would take money and take a ring and give it to a woman, he's under 13, it would not work. It wouldn't be a marriage. So it would not make her a married woman. Mm-hmm. But a woman cannot be married of her own volition under 12 years old. That wouldn't work. However, a father can marry off his daughter even when she's young.
As long as she agrees.
No, even without her agreement. A father can marry off his young daughter.
Oh.
It is not recommended, but it can be done. We'll learn about that later as well. Please God. Okay, now before the rest of this on page 654 is going to be a wrap up and it's some general rules. But I want to cover some things here before we read this. I want to just cover some details here so we don't forget about some of these details. So as I mentioned earlier, that all of these relationships carry with them, most of the relationships carry with them not only a prohibition against actual intimacy, but other types of physical closeness. Certainly hugging and kissing and things of that nature. That is true of almost all of the relationships, except for the ones where there's not a natural attraction. So obviously a man can hug another man, because that's an unnatural attraction between two men. Therefore, that is permitted. You're allowed to hug your pet dog, because that's also an unnatural relationship. It's an unnatural attraction between a human being and an animal. We already talked about a mother and a son, a father and a daughter, grandparents. All of that is acceptable, encouraged actually. However, the non-blood relatives, a man with his daughter-in-law, a woman with her son-in-law, a man with his sister-in-law, a woman with her brother-in-law, a man with his mother-in-law, a woman with her father-in-law, all of those would not only be prohibited to have intimacy, but also to have any kind of physical closeness. Again, as I mentioned before, there's a debate whether that is from the Torah or whether that is rabbinic in nature. In our culture, it has become commonplace for people to hug and to kiss people with whom they are prohibited. The world at large does that regularly. Men will do that with other men's wives. It's just a common practice. Obviously, the fact that it goes on in the culture around us is not a reason to permit it. And it's not a reason for us to think that therefore it should be permitted for some reason. I think we all understand that the culture around us is quite promiscuous and perverse. And just because it is practiced in the world around us does not mean that it is an acceptable practice. I mentioned earlier that there's a discussion about a brother and a sister. Is it permitted for a brother and a sister to hug and to kiss each other? Since there doesn't seem to be a natural attraction between a brother and a sister, so perhaps it follows the same rules as a father and a daughter, and a mother and a son. Or maybe not, maybe it's really prohibited. So let me first tell you what the law is, and then I will explain the background to it. The law is, it is by letter of the law permitted for a brother and a sister to hug and kiss each other. However, as it says in Shulchan Aruch itself, in the Code of Jewish Law itself, the sages frowned upon the practice. That is why when your son goes off to yeshiva, he comes back, he doesn't want to hug his sister. Mm-hmm. That's the reason. Because even though it is permitted, but the sages frown upon the practice. Now, why is that so? They don't frown upon the practice of a father and a daughter and a mother and a son. So why do they frown upon the practice between a brother and a sister?
The younger.
Hmm?
The younger.
Well, no. It goes deeper than that. We know that there is a law in the Torah which we have not gotten to yet, which we'll cover, please God, sometime over the next 10 years. There is a law in the Torah that prohibits yichud. Yichud is to be in seclusion with a man and a woman who are prohibited to each other to be in seclusion. Which men and which women? The ones listed here. They are prohibited to be in seclusion with each other, which means to be alone in a place where no one else is going to show up. And therefore, one thing may lead to another, and they may end up doing what is prohibited to be done. So therefore, seclusion is prohibited. A man and his wife are permitted to be in seclusion even when she is prohibited to him. That's an exception to the rule. Even though she is prohibited to him when she is a nida, nevertheless, they are allowed to be in seclusion, and there are reasons for that, which, please God, we'll talk about when we discuss the whole law of yichud, of seclusion. A father and a daughter, a mother and a son are permitted to be in seclusion. They're not only permitted to be in seclusion, they're even allowed to sleep in the same bed. This is perfectly acceptable for a mother and a son, a father and a daughter, to share closeness with each other. A mother and a son, a father and a daughter, can live in the same home alone for years, and it's perfectly acceptable. A brother and a sister have a funny law. A brother and a sister are permitted to live alone in the same house with nobody else there, be in seclusion overnight, no problem, for up to 30 days. But for 30 days or more, it is prohibited, even for a brother and a sister. So that's funny. Like, is it prohibited or is it permitted? What is this 30-day limit? How does that work? Everybody else, either it's permitted or it's prohibited. Why 30 days? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains the following. We know that there was a time in history, I've explained this to you in other contexts, both in this class and also in those who attend the Wednesday night class, we know there was a time in history where mankind as a whole had an incredibly powerful drive for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry, for paganism. A powerful, powerful drive. To the point where the Gemara relates a story where one of the sages was teaching about this subject and denigrated those who worshipped Avodah Zarah, who worshipped idolatry, and in a dream, he was visited by one of the ones of the previous generation who told him that don't be so proud of yourself. If you lived when I lived, you would have picked up the skirts of your tunic to run to the nearest altar to offer a sacrifice to the pagan, to the idolatry. It's just that. So then, why is it that we don't have that drive today? And the reason is because in the beginning of the Second Temple era, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the men of the Great Assembly, realized that this drive was so consuming that no one was able to survive, and that left unchecked, everybody, except a very, very few, very, very unusual people, everybody else would end up worshipping idols. There would be just no way to stop it. It was such a powerful drive. Just so hard for us to understand it, because we don't feel that drive. But this overwhelming, overpowering drive to worship. And so, they davened, and they took it away. They took away the drive to worship idols. Now, that did not come without a consequence. The consequence is that we don't feel a drive to worship Hashem either. That's why you can have secularism today. That's why a person can just ignore God. Before this, you couldn't ignore God. Everybody wanted a God. You couldn't ignore that. It was this powerful drive that a human being had to worship something. Today, no one, they don't have that drive anymore. A person can just ignore any kind of worship and just go about their business. But we do not feel that drive to worship idols, to perform pagan worship. I bring this that example up because it's an incredible thing that we don't feel it at all, but we know that our ancestors had an incredible drive for it. So once they were successful in removing that drive, they said, okay, let's deal with the next most powerful drive, the next worst drive. The worst one was idolatry. What was the next one? Improper relationships. So they prayed, and they were successfully able to remove that drive as well. And there was no longer any drive for intimacy. It was taken away. The Gemara says that they maintained this for 3 days, and they realized that there were not even eggs being laid by the chickens. Meaning there was no connection between any males or females on the planet. Not human beings, not animals, because this should not come as a shock to anybody. If there was not a drive, a physical drive between men and women, men would have want nothing to do with women, and women would have nothing to do with men. Why would men and women want anything to do with each other? It's such a difficult relationship to have. What would bring them to each other? What brings them to each other is a physical attraction. If that's not there, then there's no point in it. And it's a lot simpler for women to relate to women and men to relate to men. And that's what happened when they took away that drive. So they realized the world would never succeed. It couldn't continue. It would end. It would die out. And therefore, they realized that they can't do that, and they asked to rescind what happened. However, they did say, we at least want to take care of one problem. And that problem they took care of was relatives. That relatives should not feel an attraction to each other. Because prior to that time, relatives also felt attracted to each other in an intimate way. And they removed that feeling, that attraction. So that's why you raise boys and girls today, and they fight like cats and dogs. They know what they have no interest in each other. But prior to the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, removing that drive, then brothers and sisters did have a physical attraction for each other, an intimate attraction for each other. So Moshe Feinstein explains that that attraction that relatives had for each other never applied to parents and children. A father and a daughter, a mother and a son, they never had an attraction for each other. That was unnatural even prior to the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, prior to the men of the Great Assembly stepping in and removing the attraction of relatives. But a brother and a sister were attracted to each other until they removed it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that's why you find a difference in the prohibition of yichud, of seclusion. A mother and a son, a father and a daughter, that attraction is unnatural since the beginning of the world. It was always unnatural. Therefore, there's no concern for it under normal circumstances, unless a person is sick. But under normal circumstances, we're not worried about it. And therefore, there can be seclusion between a father and a daughter, a mother and a son for years. It's no problem. But a brother and a sister naturally would be attracted to each other. When the world was created, there was an attraction between a brother and a sister. When Cain married his sister, there was a natural attraction there. However, we don't feel that because the Anshei Knesset HaGedola had that drive removed. However, since it naturally would be there, it can be reignited. It can be brought back. And therefore, this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, if a brother and sister would live under the same roof for 30 days or more, there is a risk that that attraction would come back into play. And that's why yichud, prohibition between a brother and sister, is permitted up until 30 days, but not longer than 30 days at one time. So this is why the non-intimate but physical closeness between a brother and sister is technically permitted because they don't feel a drive for each other. There's no attraction for each other. Therefore, it's permitted, just like a father and a daughter, a mother and a son. However, the sages frown upon the practice because a brother and a sister really, according to the natural law, would be attracted to each other. It's only this artificial stepping in that the men of this great assembly of Ashkenaz Zagadola did. Therefore, they do not condone the practice. It is permitted, but they do not condone the practice between a brother and a sister to hug and kiss each other. Yes?
Would it be acceptable if you had, like a shomer, if somebody was renting a room and, you know, they were in the house, so it wouldn't be them alone, would that be acceptable?
Yeah, it'd be acceptable then for them, then it wouldn't be yichud. Then they would be able to be in seclusion. But that wouldn't permit hugging and kissing, but that would permit the hugging and kissing is not prohibited in the first place. It wouldn't change the sage's opinion about the hugging and kissing, but it wouldn't be considered being alone if there was someone else in the house.
Okay.
Right. So it's also only prohibited for up to 30 days if they live under the same roof for up to 30 days and then they separate for a day, they can then live in the same house again for another 30 days. It's just that they have to restart the clock. But it can't be consecutively more than 30 days for a brother and a sister. With animals, with same gender, we are not concerned. There is an opinion in the Gemara that people should not be alone with animals, but that opinion is rejected, and we say that we are not concerned about that under normal circumstances. Normal people, normal circumstances, we are not concerned about them having an unnatural relationship between a human being and an animal. Same goes for same gender. Of course, if a person themselves recognizes within themselves that they're at risk of such behavior, then they are responsible for themselves and must take steps to avoid the potential pitfall of these prohibitions. As I mentioned before, non-blood relatives would be prohibited, not only in intimacy, not only in being alone with each other in seclusion, but also in physical closeness other than intimacy would also be prohibited. Okay. So that takes us to the end over here of 6:54, and we're going to leave this, Mirtz Hashem, that we'll do this wrap-up, please God, at the next class, which again is in 2 weeks. Not next week, but in 2 weeks. Yes?
Example, a grandson is with an elderly, sick, God forbid, dying grandparent.
Well, grandparents and grandchildren are fine. There's no issue with that.
Well, with a relative that you would normally not be able
okay, to... Okay, so that is the question. You're dealing with the question of yichud, of seclusion.
Okay.
Right, that's what you're dealing with. So again, we're not really covering that here. We brought it in as an example, but that is discussed. What happens in that situation? What you're asking is, since it is impossible for there to be any kind of intimate relationship here, is seclusion prohibited?
Holding their hand, kissing their forehead.
Right, something like that. Okay, so the seclusion part, let's leave for when we get to that. In terms of touching, so the we're talking about touching that is what's a good translation for it? That is of an intimate nature. So in theory, I wouldn't do this, but in theory, it would be permitted for a man to get the attention of someone else's wife. Hello? Hello?
Right? Especially a kiddush when they're around.
That's not a very nice, right? Something like that. I wouldn't do that. I don't think it doesn't look nice. But the type of touch that is prohibited is the type of touch that is one that promotes intimacy, right? So an elderly person or someone who's very sick, so that type of touch is really only to feed them, to help them. But that's a little bit different thing. There's a big discussion about handshaking between men and women. A woman and a man who are prohibited to each other, can they shake hands? So there are those who want to argue that there's nothing wrong with that because that's not an intimate type of touch. That's just a business relationship. Rav Moshe Feinstein famously prohibited it. So there's a difference of opinion over there.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.